on Jesus commissioning the 12 to go on a mission. So you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9. Can we read there? And in Matthew chapter 10. It's also recorded in Mark 6, but these are the two pages I'm going to read. Father, as we open your word and take this time, I ask you, Lord, just to take the scales from our eyes and allow us to see that what you taught your disciples and what happened on the earth when you walked here, the truth and the reality is for our lives today. Because as Leah has reminded us, Jesus, you now live in us. And you're wanting to live your life through us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear, to understand, in Jesus' name. Okay, just a little bit of a backdrop. The disciples had been with Jesus quite a long period of time by the time we get to this passage. Some theologians put this at the beginning of Jesus' last year of ministry. So in other words, they've had a couple of years of being with Jesus before they get to this point. The other thing is, it's kind of hard for us. Doug's been to Israel and talked about it, but when we imagine, or I try and imagine, Israel as a nation, it's only about 200 kilometers lengthwise, and the widthwise is about 120. So it's not a big place. New Zealand's far bigger in landmass area. Okay, and they estimate that there was probably about 3 million people living in Israel in Jesus' day. Okay, so that's a lot of people. Plus, there's millions outside of Israel living in other cities. Because of the captivity and stuff that had happened earlier in their history. Okay, so there's quite a large population and not a huge landmass. All right? And Jesus is going to send these 12 guys out on a specific mission. So let's read. When Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town. As a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Okay, turn back to Matthew 10. And I want to read part of Matthew 10. The whole of chapter 10 really is one, appears as one dialogue for us anyway, but I want to read part of it. So this is Matthew's account of it. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet. When you leave that home or town, I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. I think it would have been highly interesting to be one of those disciples given that commission. You've spent a whole chunk of time with Jesus and you've seen him do amazing things. Now he's telling you to go and do it. You go, that gets a bit scary. If I've got to go and do it, if I've got to go and say those things, if I have to speak to the lame man and tell him to get up and walk, that's a different matter. And what about all of those religious people who have got it all worked out? How am I going to confront them? What am I going to say? How am I going to say it? I'm just a fisherman, or I'm just the tax collector. We can think up all these excuses as to what could possibly get in the way. And we don't have any understanding of what went on in the disciples' minds. But I've no doubt some of them were kind of in fear and trepidation. But Jesus was smart enough to send them out in twos so they had each other to be accountable to and to spur each other on. And it's surprising what you can do when you've got some moral support beside you. Even in our day, we see people going out two by two in our own community. All of us, I guess, have probably had the Jehovah's Witness knock at your door. And if you're in Wellsford Township, you see often have seen the Mormons two by two. I can remember years ago. I went to Te Puke and did the door knocking thing for a week or two, going from door to door, and I've done it down in Hastings as well. And when you've got somebody else with you, it is a hang of a lot easier than trying to go cold turkey on your own. But it's not in the sense it's not an easy thing, but Jesus has the confidence in who he is and the task that he's been given. To say to his disciples, I want you to go. I'm sending you. Right? He had chosen these 12 guys long before this, 2 years before this event. And he gets to this and he says, I'm commissioning you now to go. You've watched me do it. You've been with me through all sorts of things. Now it's your turn. So he gives them authority. He gives them power over all of the demonic realm and over every sickness and disease. And when you look into the Greek of the sickness thing, it means more than just being unwell. It can mean weakness and it can mean brokenness. Right? They were given the ability to bring healing to whoever was broken, to whoever was sick, to whatever disease that they encountered. And okay, we know of one instance where someone came back and said, well, your disciples couldn't drive this demon out of someone. They end up coming back and reporting to Jesus what had happened. I kind of wonder, how could Judas Iscariot experience what he experienced and still end up doing what he did? Okay? When we encounter the power of God and his ability to touch someone's life and transform them, it blows me away. I go, wow, God, you can touch someone, change their lives in an instant. What would it have been like for the man at the pool of Bethesda where Jesus turned up that day? He'd been there 30-something years waiting for the waters to get stirred so that he could get in and be healed. Staggering. Our lives can change, and we can see people in our community, their lives change in a moment. So Jesus gave them a simple message to preach. kingdom of heaven is near. And sometimes I think we get too complicated and we try and work it all out, because later in this passage of Matthew 10, Jesus says you're going to encounter some opposition, and watch out, because you're going to get dragged before courts and councils and official people. But he's telling them, don't worry about what to say. And I can, just a few weeks ago, our prayer meeting on Tuesday night, Colette was there. And she'd had a phone call from her daughter, who a lady was a friend of hers, or a friend that she knew, in hospital. She was from another nation and basically on her own. And Colette just felt burdened to go and see her, but she was worried about what am I going to say? This, she doesn't even know the lady, but just the compassion in her heart was to go. And I said to her before she left that night, I said, don't worry about what you're going to say. Trust that God is in you, that Jesus is in you and wants to touch and reach this lady. And sometimes we need that kind of encouragement from one another, that in my head I haven't got it, but in my heart I carry the answer that people need. And sometimes it's not just the words that we speak, although the words can release life and power, so can our touch, so can our presence. Peter's shadow healed many. It's the going. It's important. She said, the kingdom of heaven is here, the realm in which God is present to rule and reign over everything that's darkness, over everything that's negative, over all the corruption and the cruel stuff, over sickness and disease that robs us of life and health. And Mark records that they went and they preached, and the people should repent. And I think it's not that they were demanding that they repent. It's when they preached the gospel, people turned around to follow. And you think, well, hold on, Jesus has been already 2 years going through the nation, and there's still people yet to hear. And no, and here we are, 2,000 years later, and we've got a lot of people that have been turned off to Jesus because of what's how the church has behaved and some of our interactions that haven't shown the world that God is love. Jesus said, by your love for one another, the world will know. Ray's been sharing that this morning. Yep. I guess it's been part of our theme in a sense for a little bit. Oh, if we could only love one another the way Jesus portrayed it, then the world would see. And I know the enemy is out. He's got his gloves off, as it were, and he wants to take us on so that we don't fulfill that. So that Jesus isn't lifted up and all men drawn to him. But our fight's not with flesh and blood, or against flesh and blood. We've got to tear down those wrong thoughts, throw out the bad attitudes. We've got to have our mind renewed, as Led reminded us, so that we can keep on declaring that the kingdom of heaven is here. The reality of what heaven is can come to earth, and there can be peace where there's been strife. It can be hope where there's been despair. It can be joy where there's been sorrow, comfort for grief. This Matthew 10, verse 8 has often been quoted in recent times. Jesus, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. When we've got a handle on what we have, what we carry, and that we can give it away. I can't give you what I haven't got. If I haven't got peace in my heart, how can I give it? If I don't know that I'm loved, how can I love you? If I don't have joy, how can I give it? But if I've got it, I can. I've got to learn to release it and to give it where it's needed. How can I give encouragement when I'm in the dumps? Yeah, sometimes you do have to do it by faith. But we've got to speak to ourselves, don't we? We've got to encourage ourselves and say, this is who I am. I am God's beloved son. I do belong to a kingdom that is not going to perish or disappear. I am on the winning side. I am victorious because the one who has overcome lives in me. I just want to quickly mention two or three other things that are in this passage. Jesus gives some specific instructions. He says, take this, the message of the kingdom. What else? He then gives a list of don't take, when you go, don't take any gold or silver or copper. Don't take a bag or an extra tunic or cloak or sandals or staff. Okay? They potentially were going for weeks, if not months, on this excursion, this ministry trip out into the nation. He says, don't fill your back pocket first. Leave your bag at home. You're traveling light, guys. Okay? So he says, when you get to a town, find someone who will welcome you into your home, their home. In other words, he's going to go before you and provide. And there's a huge lesson there for them in this and for us as well. We get worried about what we're going to do if we're confronted with someone with a need. Ah, is my back pocket big enough to handle the need? Okay, and all of these things represent something, don't they? The gold and silver. The bag with our stuff in it, our resources, the extra tunic, or the sandals, or the staff. But we can put, in a sense, the spiritual counterparts to all of that. Jesus is asking us to walk by faith in all of this. So Jesus is the treasure that we've got. Okay? It's the secrets of the kingdom. That's the treasure that we've got to share. Jesus is our strength. We don't have to depend on our own ability. He's the living bread. We don't have to have enough in our back pocket to provide for every day. And the extra tunic or cloak, we're covered by his righteousness, right? It's not who I am anymore. It's not my credentials that matter. It's his righteousness that covers me. It provides for me. In one piece I read, this guy says, the backpack, well, that could represent our past experiences. In other words, the weights that we often carry, we need to leave them behind. It no longer exists in Christ. Our past is covered. Doesn't matter what it is. The sandals or shoes represent the good news, right? The staff is a symbol of authority, not our own, but Christ's that we carry now. I just want to comment briefly about the statement where Jesus says, well, if you're not accepted, if your word isn't accepted, then shake the dust off your feet and move on. Now, it's an interesting statement, and it's made, I think it's in the three Gospels, as well as in a couple of other passages in Acts. And so commentaries say this: Jews routinely removed the dust from their shoes whenever they visited Gentile lands, since they considered the dust as defiled. Jesus' instruction is a testimony against those who rejected them. Those who rejected their message rejected Jesus and would face God's judgment. Another commentator said this: shaking the dust off their feet would be a statement against the people who had rejected the gospel, that the messengers would not be responsible for what happened to them. In other words, they would have faced God's judgment. It did not mean that they were to stomp off offended and angry, but that they would move on with no defilement or unforgiveness in their hearts towards those who had rejected their message. I think that's really important, because we often think, yeah, brush the dust off my feet, that's it, I write them off. Is that really the Jesus attitude? No, you shake the dust off the feet. I've given you what I came to give you. If you don't want to accept it, that's okay. But I'm not going to leave this place and take your offense. I'm not going to leave this place and take on your rejection of me or the message that I carry or the messenger that I represent. I'm going to walk on from here free of your stuff. And I'm not going to be offended by how you react or respond to me. If they did not do that, they would take the dust of that offense to the next place that they ministered. It's the end of that guy's commentary. That's easy to do, isn't it? We can easily become offended because what I intend for good for that person, they've rejected it. And it can feel like it's a personal on us. But we've got to go, no. If they've rejected that, then that's their deal. That's between them and God. I need to move on. I need to keep my heart free from anything that's going to defile me, pollute me. Okay, essentially that's all I've got to share this morning. But I want to go back to this. Jesus called these guys and he commissioned them. Chosen. Every one of us is a chosen vessel. We're all different. We've all been given different giftings and abilities, but every one of us is chosen, called by name. And at some point, every one of us will be commissioned to go. Might be to the whoever's next door, down the street. It might be to another nation. But we are given that commission. Go. Matthew 28 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go to the person next door. Go to the one who's got a need and pray for them, with them. Because the power of God is with us and on us to see sickness healed, those in bondage set free, the lame walking, the blind seeing. That true? Okay. Ledra, in a few weeks' time, is going to the States, and in a few weeks we'll pray for him. But Connell and Catherine are going to the States very soon too. Monday week, from Gateway.